Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I shall cause to diverge from my signs those who are proud in the earth without right. If they see every sign, they do not believe in it. If they see the path that is right, they do not take it to be their path. If they see the path that is wrong, they take that to be their path. That is because they have denied our signs and were heedless of them. In this mighty ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a complete and profound diagnosis of those who see but cannot understand. Those who perceive the endless miracles of His signs, and what in the heavens and the earth is not one of His signs. They see every sign, but they do not believe them to be signs. And if they see the path that is right, the moral path, the straight path, the path of humility, the path of compassion, they do not take that as their path. And if they see the path of misguidance, they take that as their path. That is because they deny our signs and are heedless of them. That is the whole diagnosis. They are heedless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the moment we first open our eyes as little babies and gaze upon this fabulous and extraordinary and unlikely dunya, is only showing us signs. Everything. Comfortable, uncomfortable, easy, difficult, bright, dark, enormous, small, invisible, beyond the far galaxies, nothing is not one of His signs. He has not been stingy in guiding us. In fact, His name, Al-Badi'a, Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, the Holy Quran calls Him, the magnificent, majestic, stupendous, incomparable creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything that He creates from each one of the billions of cells in our bodies is a miracle. Of all of those billions of galaxies out there in the far heavens, each one is a miracle. Every atom with the laws that holds it together is a miracle. The human body is a miracle. A child is a miracle. Life and death are miracles. Springtime is a miracle. They say miracles seem unlikely, but in fact, what is not a miracle? The only likely thing is that there should be nothing. But instead of nothing, there is everything. Al-Wasi', His name is the all-embracing, the broad, the all-encompassing. And the scientists now tell us with their microscopes that they can see more and more and more of the amazing miracles of His signs. And with their telescopes, they see more and more of the miracles of His signs. Al-Wasi', indeed. And yet somehow, we see, but we don't see. This is not just for those who do not have faith, who see but are blind, but also many believers see but are blind. Everything in our pure, complete aqidah of Tawheed is nothing other than what Arhamar Rahimeen is doing in every given moment. Why are we like this? Why do we not see the signs when the generous one, Al-Badi'a, Al-Wasi'a, has given us countless signs? What's wrong with us that we don't accept this readable universe? He says, يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Those who are proud in the earth without right. Pride, which damages the heart, which damages the capacity of man to see things as signs. It is arrogance. That is our problem. In a sense, it is our only problem. So many people now are coming to Islam. In my years as Muslim, 4 decades now, I have never seen such armies coming in. The mosques in Cambridge can hardly cope. Every weekend, 2, 3, 4, people are coming into Islam. Do they have anything in common? We've seen in recent months, I've been present at the conversion of a hedge fund manager probably a multimillionaire. I've been present at the conversion of a Lithuanian taxi driver. I've been present at the conversions of several Christian priests. It's a miracle. What do they have in common? What they have in common is that they are not proud. They are not arrogant, looking down on those Muslims. They're different races, different countries. This is the Jahiliya, and that is their tragedy. That because of their arrogance, they're walking around the world with their noses in the air. They can't see the work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, even here. So far from the Ummah, in this cold little island, the land of crusades and the land of empire and the land of many things of which we were victims. Here we are, in Parker's Peace, where the future rulers of empire 100 years ago were learning to play cricket. But here we are, the victory of the unproud. One of the stories that Allah draws our attention to, and none of his stories are just out of interest, like a History Channel documentary. Very often he speaks about ancient Egypt and about Fir'aun, the epitome of undue pride. He was a mortal like the rest of us. He knew that one day he would die and rot away. He knew that his power was limited in the great expanse of time and space, and yet, ha, of those who yatakabbaruna fil ardi bighayri haqq, those who are proud in the earth without right, is one of the symbols in the Quran. Every one of the human beings mentioned in the Quran is there as a type of a particular type of human goodness, rushd, or human ungoodness and pride, ghay. Everything is a lesson told to us as stories to make it easier for our poor, weak, lazy minds to understand. Fir'aun, one of the Quran's great symbols for a man foolish enough to be arrogant. So what did he say when he heard of this god of Musa alayhi salam? He told his deputy, "Faj'alli sarha, build a tower for me. لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِ مُوسَىٰ وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Build me a tower so I can go up in it and perhaps I can see Musa's God and I think he is lying." This is the mentality of the arrogant. Use some kind of dunya equipment to try and work out that which is not of dunya, but which is the source of dunya. That's a mistake. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. And he was proud, him and his legions, without right, and they thought that they would never be returned to us. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. So we took him and his armies, and we threw them in the sea, so look to see what is the upshot of the unjust. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يُنصَرُونَ. And we made them leaders, leading people to the fire. And on the Day of Judgment, they will have no help. The greatest symbol of meaningless arrogance, the one who even thought he could contest in greatness with the one true God. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, he says, his ego says, and he is all ego. He suppressed his true nature. I am your highest Lord, he says. So what happens? Something unimaginable happens. Thrown into the sea. There is always a comeuppance for the unjust. Every arrogance will fall. Pride always comes before a fall. Those Quranic stories tell us again and again, human beings blinded to the obvious truth. They can't say Allahu Akbar as we do on the Eid. And instead, some calamity overtakes them. just as we see in today's world. In many countries, maybe an increasing number of countries, when people hear the true word, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, and they see people who, like us today, seek only to be Allah's slaves and servants, whose glory is that they put the forehead, which is the symbol of human pride, onto the ground, the ard. And we say Allahu Akbar. As we have learnt the lesson of Ramadan, and we have learnt how weak we are, how weak our bodies are, how weak our will is, how dependent we are on Allah's rizq at all times, and in that brokenness, we hear the Allahu Akbar more clearly. Perhaps this is the great lesson of Ramadan. We learn about the Allahu Akbar. When we pray, we say Allahu Akbar, and as it were, push behind ourselves everything that is less than Him, and we are liberated. We turn to face the One alone. As His ibad, as His slaves, we are the truly free. But the pharaohs of this world, they don't like to hear this Allahu Akbar. They like to be the Akbar, the uppermost. 40 years ago, one Ramadan, I was traveling in the Soviet Union. I was in the great Muslim city of Tashkent, home of Imam Abu Bakr al-Shashi, 9 centuries ago, one of the great Hanafi ulama, home of so many. Adhan prohibited, the mosques closed or demolished. I found just one where they were praying Taraweeh, which was still allowed to exist. Otherwise, the cold, dead, dark hand of atheism was weighing on the population. It was also the birthday of Karl Marx. Now that they wanted to celebrate. I remember walking down Prospekt Navoi, which is the main street in Tashkent, and there was this huge image, this idol of Karl Marx, scowling, his beard, enormous, it must have been 20 meters high. And in front of it, there was perhaps 1,000 Uzbek women in traditional dress doing what they thought was a kind of dance. Yes, bowing to this statue, to this music. That was how they celebrated his birthday. But then a few months ago, I was back in Tashkent, back on Prospekt Navoi, and I remembered how hopeless things must have seemed to the weak in faith, the triumph of unbelief, and of that arrogance, and of that idolatry. The statue is gone. The dancing women have gone. You can hear the adhan again. It's once again the land of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Tirmidhi and of so many great a'imma returning. The false idol was crushed. Fir'aun had his comeuppance, which at that time would have seemed inconceivable. Who would have thought that this evil empire could come to an end? But evil empires always come to an end. Wa antumul a'laun in kuntum mu'mineen. You are the uppermost if you have iman. And so it is with the current misfortunes and the dramas and the tragedies and the massacres and the genocides that we see today in our world. And that because we are Muslims and are concerned for our fellow Muslims and do not like to see the victory of Fir'aun and Haman and Nimrod and Abu Jahl, we see that and our hearts are stabbed to see the injustice, the arrogance of the rich and powerful, and the vulnerability of those who only wish to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clutching their helpless children to themselves as the bombs whistle down around them, and as the other Fir'auns of the world glare on, hoping that this embarrassing spectacle will soon be at an end. There is now not one Fir'aun, but so many. And yet those people, as they today, in so many places, Gaza is one of them, have in their hearts still this word, Allahu Akbar. This is what they hear in their aid. They know that He is above, beyond, and the source and the ground of everything, and that everything that exists will lead to the consummation of His plan. and to the destruction and humiliation of the unjust and the occupier and the oppressor, who one day will be carried away by some great furnace-like wind from a direction he never anticipated, because this always happens, and it always happens. Pride comes before a fall. And we have that confidence that once again people will be in their homes, in justice, in prosperity, as the oppressors crawl away into the dust. But this takabbur, this arrogance, is a dangerous thing. It's really the beginning of the human story. We know that Adam, alayhi salam, was a prophet, infallible. We do not blame him for a fall. Instead, before him, there is Iblis. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. And when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, they all did so, except Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He refused and was arrogant. He had kibr. And he was one of those who disbelieved. That's where it begins, with the disobedience of Iblis, alayhi la'na. Arrogance leads to every misfortune. It was not one of the other deadly sins that brought about his fall. It was not greed for wealth, or lust, or craving after power, or backbiting, or slander, or any of the other things that we know are kaba'ir, mortal sins. It was arrogance, pride. And it is against this Iblis spirit that the Prophets alayhim wassalam have all been sent, not for their own benefit, but to save us from this Iblis that is within each one of us, who amongst us is not arrogant, who amongst us has not treated badly those who are weak and within their power, who amongst us has not treated badly even an animal. The Quranic stories, again, are not just about past peoples or about people without the light of faith, but are about ourselves, which means we have to put them into practice rather than just feel superior and complacent. Consider the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba used to say, لم يكن شخص أحب إلي من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. No one was more beloved to us than Allah's Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Love, we had love for him. وكانوا إذا رأوه لم يقوموا له لما علموا من كراهته لذلك. When they saw him, they would not stand because they knew that he didn't like that. SubhanAllah. In every culture, if a great one comes in, you stand up respectfully. And it's not wrong to do that. It is not a sin nor a violation. In some cultures, it would be inappropriate not to do that. But in this radical egalitarian world of the Sahaba, the Holy Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, who knew that Allahu Akbar, God is greater, and we stand for him, and we will stand for him at the end of time. He didn't like it to see people kind of just standing up when he came in upon them in a room. SubhanAllah, this is the opposite of Fir'aun and the essence of a humble heart that is absolutely open to Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al, the Great One. We also read in the Sunnah that he didn't like people walking behind him. If you've had dinner at a high table in an Oxford or Cambridge college, you'll see so much is about status. In many colleges, the master of the college walks out after the dinner on his own, and he's in his gown. He's on his own, and everybody else, all the fellows of the college, walk behind him. Once I didn't know this, and I thought, well, I should talk to His Eminence, Professor so-and-so, so I kind of moved forward, and he was a bit embarrassed. I didn't know the rules. But this is what the Holy Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, didn't like. because he didn't have this pride. He didn't like to see people walking behind him. He liked them to be with him. Islam, the religion of brotherhood. And it is said that any little girl in Medina could take him by the hand or by the finger, تَذْهَبُ بِهِ حَيْثُ شَاءَتْ, and would go with him in the city wherever she wanted. That was his lack of pride, the opposite of Fir'aun, the essence of humility, the precondition for the light of faith flooding the heart. And amongst the Sahaba, we can read about Abdullah bin Umar, the great son of the great Umar. When he had an iftar or a banquet or a walima or a meal in his house, he would make sure that there was always somebody with a physical handicap amongst the group. Somebody with leprosy, somebody with no legs, somebody had been through some trauma, somebody who was mentally unwell. He was never happy unless somebody like that, usually rejected by the population, was with him, dining with him, enjoying the food, feeling included. We can learn so much from studying the life of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an. Another Umar, Umar bin Abdul Aziz. They say he was the fifth of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Once he was in his room, reading at night by the light of a candle, and a guest was with him. The candle went out. And so Umar got up in order to strike the flint. In those days, these things were complicated, and lighted again. And the guest was amazed. "Get the servant to do it," he said. "Tathabu anta bi nafsika ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." Are you going yourself, Amir al-Mu'mineen, to do this routine domestic thing? But the Khalifa replies, "Hiya awwalu nawmatin namaha." The servant boy has gone to sleep, and this is the beginning of his sleep. It's not good to wake him up when he's at the beginning of his sleep. So he did it himself. And the guest was amazed. And the righteous Khalifa just said, "Dhahabtu wa ana Umar, wa raja'tu wa ana Umar, ma naqasa minni shay." When I went to do it, I was Umar. When I'd finished doing it, I was still Umar. I didn't lose anything. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مُتَوَاضِعًا. The best of people is he who is humble in the sight of Allah. It's one of the gifts of faith. When you see the majesty of what God has created in the world, you cannot but fall to your knees, saying, SubhanAllah, the size of it, the extent of it, the ancientness of it, and how long do we last, and how much do we know? Nobody has the right to be proud. Nobody has the right to be a tyrant. On the Day of Judgment, the hadith says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be manifest, and he will say, "An al-jabbar, fa'ayna al-jabbarun." I am the mighty one. So where now are the mighty? They will fall. They will fall before the might and the insuperable power and strength of the Jabbar. One after one, the idols will fall. Physical idols, ideological idols, human idols, they will fall one after the other. This is certain, and this is the iron law of history. It never fails to happen. And we look forward in sabr to that day. So the Eid is the day when we see Allahu Akbar. Why is it Allahu Akbar? Why not SubhanAllah? Why isn't it the Eid Tasbih? Why isn't it Alhamdulillah, which would be appropriate for either Eid, so that it is the Tahmeed instead of the Takbir? No, it is Allahu Akbar. And it is with this that we begin our prayer, because we know that this kibr, this arrogance, this pride that is within us all, is the source of all of our misery, the source of our moral errors, the source of our arrogance that makes people dislike us, the source of our hardness of heart that makes it difficult for the gift of Iman to be given to us. All of our troubles come from this. Ramadan breaks us a bit. We should be grateful for that. We are humbler, reduced, inshallah, sabirin, shakirin. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر. كلما هطل الغمام وناح الحمام وارتفعت الأعلام وأفطر الصوام. الله أكبر. كلما ارتقى فوق منبر إمام وكلما ختم بالأمس شهر الصيام. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر ولله الحمد. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا. Oh Allah, accept our fasting. Oh Allah, accept our fasting. Oh Allah, accept our fasting. And we end with the Eid prayer of Imam Abdullah Quilliam, appointed by the Khalifa of his time, Abdul Hamid Khan, to be the Sheikh al-Islam of the British Isles more than 100 years ago. This was from one of his Eid khutbahs. O one only and eternal God, merciful and compassionate, almighty creator of us all, our hearts are filled with praise to thee, and with our souls and all that is within us, we would now bless and adore thee. For sleep and safety during the past night, for life and health and strength this day, for protection and health, help during the holy month of Ramadan just past, for food and clothing, and a dwelling place in which to abide, and for all that supplies the needs of the body, we gratefully thank thee. For all these and all other blessings, thou art the blessed and bountiful giver. We not only thank and praise thee for these creature comforts, but also for thy great kindness in times past in sending teachers and prophets down to this earth to instruct mankind in the knowledge of thy truth. And more especially do we bless and praise thee for the inestimable blessing of the possession of the sacred volume, the Qur'an al-Sharif, which thou didst in thy great mercy and kindness cause to be revealed to us through thy holy servant, apostle and messenger, the ever-blessed Muhammad. May eternal peace and every blessing be upon him and his descendants, and which sacred book contains all that is necessary to be known by human creatures while in this world concerning thee. We receive from thee, O eternal God, every day mercies more than we can number, and blessings more precious than we can describe, and we are sensible of obligations which these feeble words of adoration of ours do not and cannot express. Accept therefore, O most merciful God, not merely these, the praises of our faltering lips, but the unuttered and inexpressible gratitude of our hearts. Ameen. Imam Abdullah Quilliam, Sheikh al-Islam of the British Isles. In the year 1907, for instance, he was in Cambridge at the Eid dinner held over there at the University Arms Hotel. How many attended? 7 people. The high days of the British Empire. Every cause seemed lost. The Khilaf was on the rocks. The British were in India, a race empire ruling the waves. And now here we are. And where are they? Where are the district commissioners and the governor generals and the viceroys in their pomp and their circumstance with their brass bands and their durbars? Where are they now? But we are here. Why? Because Allahu Akbar has always been in our hearts, and every empire must fall. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. As'ad Allahu aidakum, wa a'adahu alaykum bil yumni wal khayri wal fathi wal baraka, lakum wa li jami'i abna'i al-Islam, barakallahu fikum, wal afu minkum. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وعيد مبارك.